From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. Breaking news seems to drive the media. Every day, millions of people search for the source that will give them the best news now. But some critics of the media say that getting the facts first is not the driving force behind today's journalism. The muckraking tradition, as investigative journalism has been called, has been replaced by the bottom line. In her new book, Newsflash, Journalism, Infotainment, and the Bottom Line Business of Broadcast News, veteran reporter Bonnie Anderson reveals how the quest for financial health among media giants may illustrate another race to the bottom for audiences. She joins us now here in our LA studios. Bonnie, nice to see you.
Good to see you.
I was fascinated to read the book for a lot of reasons. One, because I, in terms of full disclosure, had a chance to work with you when you were at CNN.
Right.
In the book, you ask a fascinating question, which is an age-old question, but I think one that deserves being revisited time and time again, and that is this notion of what a journalist is exactly.
What ought a journalist be is somebody who puts the public's right to know first and foremost. Mm-hmm. We have special protections under the First Amendment, but as a result, we also have special responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And that responsibility is that news should be a public trust. There should be the main mission, the only mission, ought to be informing the public, giving people the information they need to know so that they can make wise decisions. Mm-hmm. What it shouldn't be about is simply making more profit than we did last year. And unfortunately, that now is the bottom line of the bottom line.
There's some who argue that it's not just money. These things are obviously intertwined, but some would argue that it's not just money that's causing the degradation of news, as it were, but the fact that there is a new generation of eyeballs who they have to convince to watch the news. They've got to compete with cable and other specialty programming, et cetera. So it's not just money. It is that there's a generation of folk who aren't as interested in, say, hard news as previous generations were, and we got to make this thing sexy, or sexier at least, to get them to tune in. To that, you say what?
Well, you know, I say entertainment is great, mm-hmm. and there's a place for entertainment. There's also a place for opinion programming. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe hard news in and of itself is very important to all generations. Mm-hmm. And I have to believe that I don't care how old you are, but if you care about what's going on in the world, you should be able to have access to news that is unvarnished, that is truly fair and balanced, mm-hmm. and that gives you the information you need to make the decisions in your life. If you want to afterwards tune in and watch something that's sexy or mm-hmm. entertaining, fine. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I still believe it's a public service. We have to give people not just what they want to see, but what they should know as mm-hmm. well. I mean, it should be a mix. And it's sometimes it's a delicate dance, no question.
You talk in this book, for lack of a better phrase, about a variety of ethical violations that have permeated news organizations in this country, many of at least a couple of them that you've actually worked for. What's most troubling for you about the way that we do news these days?
I think what's most troubling to me is the people who are doing the news. Mm-hmm. I don't believe, A, that they're motivated by the right reasons. Mm-hmm. These are people who want to—
When you say doing the news, you mean on air
anchors,
or the people running running the companies?
I mean, I blame the people running the companies mm-hmm. for all the problems. Right. I mean, it's truly the executives mm-hmm. that have sold out so that they can hold on to their stock options and their big salaries. You know, they're trying to figure out who the American public wants to see. Mm-hmm. But their American public, in their mind, does not reflect the American public in this country. It never has, but it's getting even worse. So they end up hiring, they end up getting rid of everyone over 40, just about. Mm-hmm. They end up hiring what I'm calling news bunnies or news actors or news bimbos or mm-hmm. whatever, however you want to say. But these are not journalists, and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing if indeed they're journalists. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if you don't have journalists behind the microphones, mm-hmm. you're not going to be doing news.
One could, in part, blame you for some of this, because when I met you, you were basically the head of personnel at CNN. In this book, Newsflash, you refer to CNN in retrospect as the Caucasian News Network, CNN. But what really drove you out of the business? Or maybe drove isn't the right word, but you decided that there was another life for you, sharing with people how to make their news organizations what they ought to be. But at one point, you were on the inside.
Absolutely.
Why'd you come on the outside?
I was very unhappy with what I was seeing on the inside. Mm-hmm. I saw things that I felt were very unethical, very immoral, unprincipled, unprofessional, and in some cases, what I thought was illegal. I tried to fight from the inside, and frankly, it got to the point where I realized it was absolutely impossible. And to be honest with you, the folks at CNN weren't crazy about me mm-hmm. going to them behind the scenes saying, you know what, that hiring practice is not a wise one. Mm-hmm. When I was ordered by the number two guy at Turner Broadcasting at the time, no more minorities, we have enough of those people, mm-hmm. I certainly wasn't going to stand back and say, okay. when the same gentleman sent me an email saying, we only want young and attractive anchors who project credibility, mm-hmm. I said, you know what, that's not right either. Mm-hmm. So I've decided, you know, with this book, now I'm going to try it. I'm going to be a reporter for the people directly, no filters.
Mm-hmm. What kind of impact can one who is doing what you are doing have on a process that one could argue is rotten to the core?
You know, I do believe that once the public reads this or once what I have written about becomes common knowledge, it's going to be harder for them to get away with some of the tactics that they have been using.
Since we're on the eve of the Democrat and Republican conventions this summer and we're doing this radio show and my TV show on PBS, for that matter, from both conventions, what's your sense of the fact that we are seeing less and less news coverage out of the conventions? Of course, the networks say that there ain't no surprises there. There's no news being made. It's all scripted. And so they don't deserve more than 3 hours of prime time over the course of an entire week at either convention.
Well, I mean, when you compare that to how many hundreds of hours of O.J. Simpson trial coverage, compare that to Lacey Peterson, where you had on Larry King alone last year, 46 programs dedicated to Lacey Peterson. Give me a break. What is more important? This political process will impact far more people directly than Lacey Peterson does, or mm-hmm. that Kobe Bryant, Michael Jackson, or any of these trials are going to be covered gavel to gavel. You know, tell me, what is more important and where is the news judgment in this?
With all due respect to the wonderful work you've done here in Newsflash, this new book that you've written, I've got to believe, unless you're going to tell me something that I've not considered, there are really only two ways to fix this. That is to get people in positions of authority who don't care necessarily about the bottom line being how much money they made. That ain't likely to happen anytime soon. And with regard to making the media look more like America, to reflect the diversity and the gender that is America, you've got to put people of color and women in decision-making positions. I don't think that's likely to happen anytime soon. So are you telling me, or am I really telling myself, that this problem ain't going away no time soon?
You know what? I'm an idealist, and I'm somebody who has to have faith. And I believe that if you do tell the American public, give them the information, which is, after all, what we're supposed to do as journalists, mm-hmm. that there can be a groundswell and that there can be people calling up your local station and saying, hey, your newscast does not reflect my community. Or calling up, and more than anything, as you said, it's the people in power in the executive suites who do not reflect this country, not ethically, not in terms of race, not in terms of religion, but, you know, economic diversity across the board. It has to happen. And I'm reaching out to journalism students, the journalists of tomorrow. And I do this because it's important for us to reach these young people and to, you know, give them the right motivations and to say enough is enough.
She worked for NBC and CNN, and now she has written a new book called Newsflash, Journalism, Infotainment, and the Bottom Line Business of Broadcast News. Her name is Bonnie Anderson. Bonnie, nice to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.